So this week, we continue our Yes series that is actually our theme for the whole year, the word yes. And every month, we'll kind of delve into what it means month by month. And as I was praying and thinking about what God might be saying yes over us in this season of our lives, so many words came to mind. So many words came to mind. I heard the word mercy. I heard the word kindness. I heard the word compassion. I heard the Hebrew word hesed. We'll talk about that at some point in 2021, I think. I heard the word forgiveness and grace. But then I feel like God has placed a really strong burden on my heart over the last 3 months, especially for the people who are suffering in silence. My heart has been heavy for them because I feel like there's a lot of people suffering right now and they're keeping it silent because they're embarrassed or because they are aware that so many other people are suffering. They feel like their suffering is small comparatively. That's never a good way to go as comparison, but that's what we do sometimes. I feel like there's a lot of people despairing of what life looks like right now because of financial struggles, because of physical struggles, because of emotional struggles, mental health issues. Maybe it's just an overall nagging sense of loss and grief and sadness. And so when I asked God, what are you saying yes to? I heard the word life. And I knew that's what he wanted me to talk about this week. Yes to life. Because if we can hear him speaking yes over us, we don't have to ask him to get on our page. We can get on his page. Okay? And so that's a beautiful thing that we can do that. And so today, my message is yes to life. Yes to life. We're going to talk about what life means and what it looks like. And as I teach this morning, I want to do a little fun thing with you. Not just for the kids, this is for everybody. Kids and kids at heart. Every time I hold up this sign, I want you to say yes, okay? So we're going to practice. Wait, it's not up right now. Ready? Yes! Yes! You got it. Okay, so every time I hold that up, we're just going to add our yes to God's yes. If God says yes to life, we're going to say yes to life. In John 1, 4 and 5, in the New Living Translation, it says about Jesus, he's called the Word in this passage. Jesus, the Word, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. But if you look up that word life in the Greek, the original word is zoe. I know it looks like Zoe, but it's pronounced zoe. Zoe. And it means, listen to these words of what it means. It means vitality. It means fullness. It means genuine, active, vigorous. I don't know if your life looks like that or not. But I'll be honest and say my life doesn't always look like vitality. Sometimes it looks more like, But if the word came to give life, vitality, and fullness, I want to get in agreement with the word. And if he says yes to life, I want to say yes to life. You guys are so good. Wow, you're paying attention. So today, as we talk about life, I want you to ask yourself, does my life look like the yes of God over my life? Does my life, and here, listen, I don't know why in the church we tend to hear things like this and we go into accusation mode. We start beating ourselves up. I don't want you to hear this as an accusation. I want you to hear this as an invitation to live higher. To love higher, right? To live higher. So That's what I want you to really focus on. Point number one, Jesus is the bread of life. In John 6:35, it says, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Obviously, he wasn't talking about a physical bread because we still get hungry even though we have Jesus in us and we turn to Jesus. We still get hungry. I do, right? Isaac, how many meals a day do you eat? Three. Do you have snacks in between? Yeah, because you're a boy and you're growing. And yeah, my kids would have a big full dinner and then an hour later they were like, I'm hungry. I still clean up the dishes. How can you be hungry? How is that even possible? Where did it go, you know? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the nutrition source of Zoe. That's what he said. I am actually the nutrition source. So if Jesus said, I am the bread of life, I'm going to say, yes. Yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. Last night, so Rem, my oldest son, who is 28 now. Oh, I can't believe that. But anyway, because I still feel like I'm 28. So I don't know how he can be 28. But anyway, he has been living with me 10 days a month while he's been in town. But this weekend, he got the keys to his new apartment. And so he was moving out. Well, he's a night owl and I'm an early bird. Definitely, extreme ends of the spectrum. And so I was ready to go to bed by 9:30 last night. When you get up at 4, that's what happens. You need to go to bed, you know. And so I was ready to go to bed, but he was going to come and get the last load of his stuff, some clothes mostly that had been left in the dryer. And so he said, Mom, I'm sorry it's going to be late. I know you're going to be in bed, but I'm going to come and get some. I'm like, no problem. It's fine. It's not a problem. I'll just leave the front door unlocked. I have a great neighborhood. I feel safe. And so I left the door unlocked for him to come in and get his clothes. And I sat down to do my little devotional I told you where I write down what I think God is saying to me. And I began writing some thoughts that I felt like God was speaking to me. And then in my mind popped, you better let Rem know if he needs any towels or comforters or blankets or pillows, just to take whatever he needs. So I put my notebook aside and I text my son and I say, hey, Rem, if you need anything from the house, please take it. I would love to share with you anything you need, take, right? And I sent the text and then I go back to my journal and I heard God smiling. I heard God smiling. He said, Sandy, if you feel that way about your son, if there's anything that I have that you need, come and take it. It's yours. You see, it gives me great joy to give my son anything he needs that I have, if it's good for him. But I'm not going to have it if it's not good for him. So, right? How much more? Multiply that times a million. God says to us, hey, Sandy, hey, Stephanie, hey, Bill, if there's anything you need, come and take it. It's good. I would love for you to have it. Jesus is the bread of life. Point number two, Jesus doesn't do average. He doesn't do average. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That phrase, maybe you've read it in other translations that say abundant life. What it means is over and above, more than is necessary, more than what is needed. What? Super added, further, I love that word, super added, further, extraordinary, uncommon. Jesus says, I came to give you life, but not an average life. I didn't come to bring you a common life. Now, here's the thing. In crisis, it's normal to go into this mode of survival. It's very, very normal. It's absolutely expected. It's common, right? Whether you know it or not, we've been in crisis mode as a nation for almost a year now. So many of us have gotten comfortable with common. We've gotten comfortable with being in survival mode, but we need to be reminded that Jesus didn't come to give us an average life. I'm not saying it's wrong. This isn't an accusation. This is an invitation to come higher out of survival into thriving. Because Jesus doesn't do average. So if God says yes to uncommon life, we say yes. We say yes. Point three, knowing and believing God leads to life. In John 17, 1 through 3, it says, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal Zoe. Everlasting Zoe. To know you. The only true God in Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. That word know in that passage means to become intimately acquainted with. And you might remember a definition of intimacy I gave, or an equation of intimacy I gave a while back. That's time plus transparency equals intimacy. I've also heard it said, intimacy can mean into me you see. Into me see. Intimacy, right? Jesus said the way to have Zoe is to know God. To know him. To let him see into you. It's so ironic because many of us, in the gospel, we come to Jesus and we try to hide the broken parts. We try to hide our flaws and what we did wrong and how we failed. And God says, no, I want to see inside of you. I do anyway, but I want you to give me access. I want you to give me permission to see inside of you. Because he's the only one who can bring life out of that. He's the only one who can turn graves into gardens. He's the only one. Over in John 20, we see it again. John 20, 30 and 31. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life, Zoe, by the power of his name. That word believe in that passage is to have confidence, fully assured and unswerving. It's a self-surrendering fellowship. It's trust that results in actions. Judy and I were talking before service and how we feel like there's a huge trust deficit in our world right now. I don't trust news reports. I don't trust politicians. I don't trust, you know? There's this huge trust deficit, right? And it makes me sad, and I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. But the good part of that is then I can know that the person, I know whom I have believed in, and he is able to deliver. Ah, I know who I can trust. I know where I can put my unswerving confidence. You see, if I had a little chair here that was meant for a child, I wouldn't trust it to hold me because I'm not a child and I'm not the size of a child. But if I have a chair that was meant to hold me, I will trust that chair to hold me and I will sit in it. That's trust. That's a trust, a confidence that leads to an action. Jesus said, if you want to have true life, if you want to have everlasting Zoe, know God so much that you trust him, even when you don't understand. So if God says yes to knowing him, I say yes, yes to knowing him. Point four, true life can be found no other way. Now, this is a really interesting passage to me in Matthew 10. Jesus is talking and he says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. But you know what? He doesn't use the word Zoe when he says that. It's interpreted for us both the same. life, life. He doesn't use the same word. The word he uses is a different Greek word that is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, psuche. And you know what that means? Breath. Breath. Huh. So psuche is part of zoe. But Jesus said, if you cling to psuche, you will lose it. Psuche is the same word it's talking about when it's talking about plants breathing and animals breathing. Listen, I love both. I love plants and animals. But I do not want to be reduced to surviving on psuche. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not. Because Jesus doesn't do average. And he doesn't want us clinging to breath when we can have zoe. He doesn't want that. In John 6, 66 through 69, I've referred to this passage many times because it's one of my favorites, one of my countless favorites. Jesus has just told the more than 5,000 people who were following him, listen, if you want life, you have to find it in me. I'm the source of life. I am your source of life. There's no other way it can be found. And a bunch of people said, I'm out. It was okay when he was giving me fish dinners. But now that he's saying, I want all of you, I want you to be all in with me, I'm out. Too much. He's a cult now. I'm done. They started walking away. At this point, many of his disciples turned away. Many of his disciples turned away, not the 12, and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Now, you need to remember, he asked this knowing they were going to desert him, which is interesting. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life. We believe, there's that word again, believe, and we know you are the only one of God. You are the Holy One of God. There is so much freedom in knowing what you can count on, who you can count on. There's so much freedom in that. Peter still left when it got tough, but he came back and Jesus welcomed him with open arms. But I love that Peter in that passage recognized, listen, I can't get my zoe anywhere else. No one else carries it. I've tried other places and no other place works. So when God says, true life can be found no other way, I say, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Point five. True life looks like goodness, peace, and joy. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when you hear not the accusation, but the invitation to live life, ask yourself the question, is my life characterized by goodness, peace, and joy? That doesn't mean I go dancing around my house all the time filled with joy, because I don't. Sometimes joy is just an inside job, and I've got to be okay with that, right? But is my life more often characterized by goodness, peace, and joy, or is it not? Because if it isn't, to whatever degree I'm lacking that, I need to go back to the source of joy and peace and goodness, go back to the source of zoe, who is Jesus, and say, fill me up. I need a fill up, please. Pull in. I need a fill up, Jesus. Because true life, that's what it looks like. Goodness, peace, and joy. And if God says yes to goodness, peace, and joy, I say yes to goodness, peace, and joy. As I was preparing this week, it's a long story how I got to that, so I'm not going to go to the whole story. God led me supernaturally to a book by Jonathan Cahn called The Mystery The Mysteries of Heaven. I forget the name of it right now. Book of Mysteries. Thank you. Thank you. I knew somebody would know it. The Book of Mysteries. He led me to this passage where the teacher and the student are talking about life. And the teacher says, for the child of God, the heavenly life cannot be limited to the afterlife. It is too great to be contained in that which is not yet and not here. Oh, this is so good. If you get it, please get it. For the child of God, heaven has to be known and lived in this life as well. But you have to die to go to heaven. The key is to die. But the secret is, don't wait until you die in order to die. If you do, you'll never know that this heavenly life until this life is over. But there's a way to die now, even while you live. In Messiah, you have that power to depart from this realm, from the old and the earthly, even now. Die to your old life and you will enter the new. Die to the flesh and you'll live in the spirit. Die to the earthly and you'll enter the heavenly. Learn the secret of living in your afterlife now. It's as simple as dying and going to heaven. I think the past year has taught us some places we were getting life from that's really death. not a good death. This is a good death. And we're learning that we have to die to this realm. We have to die to the way we look at things. We have to die and become alive in the way heaven works. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in my heart, as it is in heaven. In my search for life in scripture, I found it over 500 times, depending on the translation that you look at. But I found it interesting that the book of John talks about it 40 times. It's not a big book, but it talks about it 40 times. And the book of Romans is a close second in the New Testament with it discussing it 28 times. So if you're looking for more Zoe in your suke, I invite you to read and study the book of John this week. And if you've already read it, so have I. Read it again. And again and again and again and again and again. John is one you can go back to over and over and over again. But in Romans, I found this one that I just loved. Romans 4, 16 and 17. So the promise, this is Paul talking. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. You don't have to earn this. You don't have to be good enough to get Zoe. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. Did you hear that? Whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead to Zoe, and the one who creates new things out of nothing. God really can turn graves into gardens. He really can bring the dead back to life. And so if you feel like you have been the walking dead lately, I invite you to get a drink of Jesus today. Not a drink of Sandy, because that won't satisfy. Get a drink of Jesus, really. He satisfies. He can create new things out of nothing. I've seen him do it. So God is saying yes to life. Do I have to work hard to get what he's giving as a gift? No, I just have to get in agreement with him. I just have to say yes. That's all. It's like when Esther went before King Xerxes when she wasn't supposed to. And he could have said, you're done. Your life is done and your role as queen is done. But instead, he held out a gold scepter to her. And what that signified was you are invited to come closer, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. And I believe that God is holding out a gold scepter of life to each of us, of Zoe to each of us. All we have to do is say yes. He doesn't say get it together before you come. He says, come on in. Come on in. But I really felt strongly we wanted to come into agreement today and pray for those who are suffering in silence. So just close your eyes. God, we come together as a corporate body right now. And I am aware that there may be people in this room who have been suffering in silence. But I also believe there are people who are joining us online in some way, and they have been suffering in silence. So we come together and we speak hope and life, not just suke, but zoe, over every single person who has been suffering, no matter what the source of their suffering is. We invite them to Jesus. And we are living testimonies that Jesus is the only one who can bring life. So I pray that you, God, would touch people wherever they are when they're hearing this. If it's people in this room, touch people in this room who have been despairing of life. They've even wondered, is it worth living another day? People who are not in this room, who are listening, who have been despairing and feeling like, what is even the point? God, we speak your life over them right now. We ask you to turn bones into armies. We ask you to put your breath in people. When you ask Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, only you know that. Only you know. You're the one who gives life. So we pray for people who are needing new life breathed in to them right now. And we thank you, you're fully able to do it. In Jesus' name. We're going to have communion today. And so we're going to have a little short video for you to go and gather your elements. Just sanitize your hands and pick up the elements and then come and sit down and we'll take it together after the video.
To all.
the bread, I see God's ultimate yes to us. I see that he says yes to healing. He says yes to wholeness. He says yes to rescue. So every time I take it, I see it as my way of saying yes to his yes. That's all. So God, we thank you for this bread, and we thank you that you say yes to connection with us. And so we take this bread as our way of saying yes back to you. When I see the juice, I know it's God's yes to full intimacy with us, with nothing hidden. It's an invitation to being clean before him, to having a connection with him that's so close. We can hear him whisper in our hearts, and we can hear him smile. So God, I thank you for this juice, for the new covenant that it represents to each of us. A covenant of grace and compassion and mercy being poured out because of the sacrifice of your son that made it possible for everything to be put on him so that we don't have to bear the punishment for it. And so we say yes to your yes, and we take the juice together. Yes to life. Jesus is the bread of life. He doesn't do average. Knowing and believing God leads to Zoe. True life can be found in no other way. And true life looks like goodness, peace, and joy. So God says yes to life, and we say yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. So I want to pray over the offering before we dismiss. God, I thank you for every person who is so faithful to invest into your kingdom. And I pray a blessing over their offering. I pray a blessing over what they give. And I pray a blessing over what they keep. Because that's the way your kingdom works. And so I just ask you to multiply many times over what they give and multiply many times over what they keep, so that it can be done according to your kingdom, according to your will. And I thank you for that. Pray a blessing over them. In Jesus' name, amen.